Recorded live.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this one-hour live radio broadcast. And as always, we dedicate this program to Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, the Great I Am. We also dedicate it to His holy remnant, the believing sons and daughters of Jacob Israel, also known as the Caucasian or Israelite peoples of the world. Alleluia, all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Today is the 8th day of January, year 2012. Here we go. We've entitled today's program, Be Ye Doers. That comes straight out of Scripture. Today's verses are from James in the New Testament, James chapter 1, starting at verse 23. Because if any man is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For after looking at himself, he goes away, and in a short time, he has no memory of what he was like. But he who goes on looking into the true law, which makes him free, being not a hearer without memory, but a doer, putting it into effect, this man will have a blessing on his acts. Or you could say a blessing on his what? Fruits, his activities, his works. If a man seems to have religion, and has no control over his tongue, but lets himself be tricked by what is false, this man's religion is of no value. Verse 27, the religion which is holy and free from evil is in the eyes of our Father is this, to take care of the children who have no fathers and of widows who are in trouble, and to keep oneself untouched by the world, or cosmos in the Greek. Okay, I do want to remind you I have the auto-blocking feature on, so as new people come on to the program, they will be automatically blocked till they're unblocked, so bear with us. Randy, I see you're on the call. I will check with you here in just a minute. Guest says here, Pastor Dan, if you come across a good deal on Fluenz Spanish in Miami, please let me know. I will keep an eye on that. Let me write that down, because that's the first I've heard of it. But I do have many friends here that could possibly tell me more about that. So anyway, lots of things going on. But the verse there that in James chapter 1 I wanted you to pay attention to is where it's talking about the man looking in the mirror. That's a metaphor. That's a story, obviously, to help sink in the premise or the teaching of the word. And the teaching is that you don't forget. And you know, if you don't put something into practice, you tend to forget it, don't you? I know I do. That's the whole idea behind it. You make a habit of it. You put it into practice. Because if you don't, you will forget it. So the teaching here is that as you study the scripture, remember, our Heavenly Father doesn't expect you to memorize chapter and verse. That's not what it's here for. The scripture is here so that as you read it, you gain the knowledge of the principles being taught. Then as you understand the principles, you put them into practice. Because as you put them into practice, they become a part of you. You see? It will have great influence over you, and vice, and also you will have great influence over others, because they will see that you are somehow different. And so, just like the word says, the outward appearance of you to others will become like a living Bible, you see? Because they're going to want to know, why is it you don't eat pork? Why is it you don't eat shellfish? Those are two of the ones that I get asked the most. Well, what are you, Jewish? Well, no. Most Jews I've ever been around eat the unclean foods. Yeah, believe it or not, they're supposed to be the chosenites, and yet they violate that simple rule there almost with abandon. Again, in my experience, I'm not talking about your experience. This is my program. I'm talking about my experience. I've been around quite a few Jews, and in almost every case, they do not follow the food laws. In fact, they don't follow many of the laws at all. Just as Scripture says, they are a whitewashed sepulcher. They're a dirty plate that's been cleaned on the outside, but not on the inside, because they're not the people of the Bible. They're not his children. They are Lucifer's children. They do his bidding. We got an article here we may get into by John Kaminsky. Very, very well-written article about the Chosenites and some of their nefarious deeds. And then we have another article here written by Larry Pratt with Gun Owners of America, talking about taking a stand. And that's one of the reasons we picked the title today, To Be a Doer, is because some sheriffs across the country are finally taking a stand. Not just the sheriffs, but the local police and the state militias are starting to take a stand. That's what we've been praying for. Yahweh, you know, energize our people, because we've become lethargic. We've become cowards. Unbelievable what we allow to happen in our country. Before we get too far gone, I'm going to check on Randy here to see if he had a comment or question. If I can, oh, there it goes. Okay, Randy, you're unmuted. Did you have a comment or question?
No, I'm just listening to the on the phone here. Yahweh bless you.
Okay, you, Randy. Oh, okay, never mind then. If you have a mute button on your phone and you use it that way, if you have a comment or question, you can just unmute and join in when you get a chance. That way, because if I don't unmute you, there's no way of me finding out that you actually had something that you wanted to say. But we'll work around these little hiccups or bumps in the road as we trudge along. We do what we can do with what Yahweh provides. Isn't that the principle that we live by? Stay flexible. That's another principle. Commander says here, the Ezekiel army is rising. Yes, it is. Every indication I get says it is rising. It is rising very fast, and it is becoming very, very strong, both spiritually and physically. This New World Order thinks they've got this thing all wrapped up. That's what cracks me up. It's far from over. Far from over. And the beautiful thing of it is, you know that they're aware that it's growing because their propaganda has been increased, because of the show of force that they feel they have to do in order to keep the sheep at bay. You see, if this was a done deal, they wouldn't need to do all that, would they? They wouldn't need to spend the billions of dollars in advertising and propaganda. They wouldn't need to constantly throw in your face the military aspect of the police anymore, and all this other stuff that comes across the boob tube. They do that because it's not working. They do that because Yahweh is awakening his people in spite of their efforts. You see, it's not a done deal. Far from it. Commander says here, Pastor Dan, the USA is Gog's Waterloo. Well, the New Jerusalem, North America, is going to be their Waterloo, absolutely. It's almost comical to watch them, because if you pay attention to what they're doing, their propaganda is a very, very good sign of the fact they're paranoid. They know their time is short, and so the more they claim that they're winning, they're actually losing. The more they try to denigrate this message, the faster it grows. So you see, it's a negative response, but they're too dumb to figure that out. That's in our favor. They are very dumb, and they are very vain. They are very vain people. And the scripture even alludes to that when it says that their vanity would be their undoing. And it is their undoing. The most pompous and vain people on the planet are Lucifer's kids, these Jews. They are very vain, and they're very paranoid, and so you see the reason for what they're doing. So again, Yahweh doesn't necessarily have to come out and tell you where we stand. All you have to do is read the signs of the times. Like I said, take a look at what the enemy is doing, and that will tell you a lot about what's really going on. Because you know the news media couldn't tell you the truth if they put a gun to their head. They are completely without scruples or morals or character. They are simply intellectual prostitutes, whores, if you will. And even John Swinton, one of their own, said that many years ago when he was being honored at a banquet. He made the statement that the news media was, and that's where I got the term. They were basically intellectual prostitutes. So that's his term, not mine. I got another comment here somewhere. Oh, Caldy says here, Pastor Dan, shall we send you a few Wellingtons? Well, as my buddy in Special Forces always tells me, Dan, don't worry about it. We got lots of trigger pullers. We need you elders out there for logistics and leadership and that sort of thing. So you old geezers don't figure you're going to do any of the fighting. Well, I told him, I said, well, you may feel that way, but some of us old geezers still want to try to stay in shape because it's not only the right thing to do, but also just in case, all right? I know you youngsters are in better shape than most of us older guys are, but yeah, I think we can still give you a run for your money. Anyway, be ye doers and not hearers only. That's a very clear principle taught in Scripture, all through Scripture, not just James chapter 1. You know, knowing the truth and knowing this message is not just good enough. I mean, just knowing it is not good enough. You've got to put it into practice. Knowing the food laws isn't going to keep your health. Obeying the food laws brings good health. Do you see the difference? Understanding the Ten Commandments doesn't make a change in your life. Obeying the Ten Commandments makes the change. So be ye doers and not hearers only. And again, I want to remind everybody the auto block feature is on, which means as new people log in, they are automatically blocked until they are unblocked by me. And sometimes I don't see people come onto the chat room, and I apologize for that. I try to keep an eye on the board, but it's tough to do sometimes. Commander McBragg, Pastor Dan, Napoleon was finished by the final assault across the snow by the Scott Highlanders. Their DNA is mostly here in the USA now. Yes. Yes, it is. A lot of Scotsmen here. A lot of Germans here. You know, a lot of people don't understand that. Almost 50% of America was made up of German ancestry people. We were only one vote away when we were colonies, and as a young nation, we were only one vote away from speaking German as our official language. And really, for anybody that's a student of languages, English is just an offshoot of German anyway. A lot of people don't know that. England is Saxon. English, if you've ever heard somebody speaking Old English, which I've had the opportunity to do several times, it sounds identical to German. So we are kin. And the Scotsmen, yeah, when I was up in Michigan, it's loaded with Scots. And Scots are very independent people. They're usually free thinkers. They don't like being told what to do, and they are tremendous warriors. Tremendous warriors. In fact, all of the Brits, all of those on the islands, the Emerald Isles, have been known to be great warriors all through history. And that's because they're the Hebrews of old. The Hebrews, when they went on the march, they were later called Israelites, but the Hebrews, when they went on the march, the enemy would be in fear when they heard the pipes and the drummers. Isn't that amazing? Most people think pipes and drummers, the music of pipes, the bagpipes and drums, they call it noise, but they're not white. They're not Caucasian. They're not Israelite. Israelites, everyone that I've ever asked all through the years in the different meetings, do you like the sound of bagpipes and drums? Every Anglo Anglo-Saxon I ever met said, absolutely, it's beautiful. But every non-white thought it was nothing but noise. So, you know, Yahweh gives us a lot of tools to identify who's who. Okay, we got new people, a lot of new people logging on here, so I'm going to ask my regulars to be on the troll patrol. Commander says, pass down, English equals Anglish from the Germanic Angles. Yeah, the Angles, the Jutes, the Saxons, the Normans, all those different English. You know, and that is one of the neat things over the years is I've studied Hebrew and Greek, and I've also gotten into studying French and German and Spanish. The similarities, it's even astounding. You know, and I even looked at a sample from Rosetta Stone of Turkish. And I was just doing that for kind of grins, and it was funny when the picture of a man popped up. Do you know in Turkish what man is? It's Adam. You see, the things from the Bible are everywhere. Adam in their language is man, exactly like it is out of the scripture. And our people were in that area at one time. Now, you got to remember, in biblical times and in ancient times, the people that lived in certain areas of this globe are not the same people that are there now. For instance, many people think that the present-day Egyptians built the pyramids. That's completely ludicrous. No, they didn't. They moved in after our ancestors moved out. Our ancestors built the Great Pyramids, as they did most of the tremendous works, architectural works, and sculptural works in this world were done by our people, not the people that are there now. How ludicrous. But, you know, it shows you how sometimes our people just forget how to think. They just can't step outside the box and think for themselves. They want to, I guess they want the easy way out. They want somebody else to tell them, all right? Guess number 8 says, the two Greek letters that make up the last two sixes in the 666 says, in the name of Allah in Arabic. Interesting. It could be. Well, you know, it's much like the first head of Homeland Security here in the United States was Michael Chertoff, the son of a rabbi, an Israeli, who was under federal indictment for crimes in New Jersey as a judge. And yet they put this man in there, and his last name, Chertoff, in the Russian language means the son of the devil. Isn't that amazing? So right there in his name, Chertoff, he is what he is. He's a Jew. He is the son of the devil, just like Christ said. You know, it's all so simple. It's right in your face. How come you don't understand? Oh, my gosh. Caldee says, Pastor Dan, Engel in Hebrew means bull, hence English bulldogs or John Bull, etc. Yep, exactly. You know, I was just reading a note here about some of the Russian language. Again, as you study scripture and you get the true translation and you study history, it is amazing to me that the symbols and the evidences of the truth of this message are everywhere. Everywhere. It's amazing. But anyway, I wanted to read this article real quick. I want to go down through it and just kind of hit the highlights because I don't think we have time to read the whole thing because there's actually a couple articles. So again, for those that are already logged on and whatnot, as new people come on and they don't get unmuted right away, just let them know to be patient. I'll get to them as soon as I'm done reading. This is an article by Larry Pratt, January 7th. It's located at newswithviews.com. If you want to get a copy yourself, the title is Sheriffs Standing with the People Against the Feds. I have reported earlier that sheriffs in New Mexico are threatening to arrest federal agents if they attempt to enforce unconstitutional federal acts in contravention of state law. The even better news is that sheriffs in other states are doing the same. Sheriff Brad Rogers of Elkhart County, Indiana, has told FDA agents they will be arrested if they go after the Amish farmer David Hostetter's land. Having falsely alleged that raw, unpasteurized milk sold by Hostetter had caused several cases of food poisoning, the FDA filed a complaint in federal court to support their attack on the farmer, which again, lie upon lie upon lie. The New World Order couldn't tell the truth if their life depended on it. You know, and someday their life may depend on it. You know, they're getting away literally with murder and theft and robbery, etc. today, only because the Jewish takeover of the judicial system is allowing that. The Chertoffs, the Michael Chertoffs of this world, the Israelis who are hell-bent on world domination have decimated our justice system. And this is the kind of lunacy that you get because, you know, in the book of Romans, what did he tell us? Beware what? The leaven of the Pharisees. And what's the leaven of the Pharisees? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. There you get a hint, Jacob Israel. Are you listening? Hypocrisy. Who are the biggest hypocrites on the planet? Stop and think about it. Who are the biggest hypocrites on the planet? Edomites. Jews. And I'm speaking from personal experience here. This isn't make-believe. I didn't read it in a book. I've got out and lived life. I've challenged the New World Order. I've challenged unconstitutional laws. I've got out there and stood shoulder to shoulder with brothers in courthouses defending our kin against these people. So I've seen it. This isn't make-believe. This isn't some fairy tale. It's for real. It's you people that don't get involved that don't understand what's going on. It's like one friend told me many, many years ago, if you don't believe there's a conspiracy, if you don't believe that the New World Order is actually these people and that they're actually trying to take over the world, it's simply because you've never done anything to get in their way. You take a stand for what the scripture says, righteousness. You take a stand and try to implement Yahweh's laws, and you'll find out they exist. You'll find out for sure. And our numbers are growing, and therefore their paranoia is also growing. They know their time is short. Commander says here, Pastor Dan, this kind of reminds me of Star Wars, where Leia told the Admiral, the more you close your grip, the more star systems will slip through your fingers. Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. But you see, they are criminals. They don't do what would be sensical. They don't do what is sensical. They do what they do, just like the frog in the story, the frog that gave the scorpion a ride, and the scorpion hit the frog, and he died, and they both drowned. Why did the scorpion do that? Because scorpions do what they do. It's a genetic thing. Why do the Jews do what they do? Because it's genetic. They've gained so much wealth and power, it's unbelievable, and yet it's not enough. The George Soroses, the Rupert Murdochs, the Rothschilds, etc., etc., etc. Tremendous wealth. If they would back off, they probably could get away with what they're doing. But you see, they're tired. They're growing impatient. Their vanity is their undoing. They want to see this come to fruition. And Yahweh is turning up the heat because, as the scripture says, he's pouring out his spirit upon his flesh, and they are awakening. And thus, these Edomites don't have the luxury of taking another century to do this because they're being discovered. And now they're in a quandary. They've got to really get on the ball now. They've got to move very rapidly. And the funny thing is, the more rapid that they move, the more they expose themselves. Their end is near. They can't do a darn thing about it. Hallelujah for that. Hallelujah. It's not us. You and I, nope, we don't deserve it. But our Heavenly Father, because of His promises and who He is, that's the reason that they're going to go down. Let's continue with Larry's article here. I have consumed raw milk for years and can affirm that it is not only safe but much healthier than pasteurized milk. And Larry's 100% right. I've been all to the natural health classes, and I grew up on a dairy farm, so I know what he's saying is true. The threat of incarceration led the feds to withdraw their complaint against Hostetler. This was even after U.S. Department of Justice attorney Ross Goldstein. Did you catch that? Ross Goldstein. Yep, he's an Edomite. Emailed the sheriff that he would be arrested if he protected Hostetler. When Sheriff Rogers refused to back down, the FDA cried uncle. Here again, when the righteous stand firm, what? The wicked flee. Have you ever seen those words in writing anywhere, brothers and sisters? Yeah, it's in the scripture if you're reading it. When the righteous stand firm, the wicked flee. Our problem in this world today is the righteous aren't doing much standing firm. They've been milquetoast. They've been backtracking. They've been drawing new lines in the sand instead of standing by and taking a firm stand against the wicked. Ergo the problem today. The wicked seem to be, because of their propaganda, in total control and nothing can be done about it. I had somebody tell me that today. How can the militias and how can the people ever resist the New World Order? They have all those tanks and rockets and planes. Do you people really think they've got enough stuff to conquer us? They don't have enough stuff. Yeah, it looks like a lot of stuff when it's all piled in one spot and they do their newsreels and you see all the tanks. But, you know, that's the purpose of propaganda. Go ask a soldier sometime how fast those huge stockpiles get depleted when the forces hit the field. It thins out pretty damn quick. I was in the military. I know. And all that high-tech, wondrous machinery out there that the New World Order has, how long do you think it lasts when the good technicians, who are almost always the white guys, aren't there to fix it? How long does it last when spare parts aren't available? How long does it go when there is no gas and diesel to run it? It's just so much bulk weight sitting in the field, isn't it? Just ask how the Germans in the Battle of the Bulge, those who have studied history, what happened to the Germans? We didn't defeat the Germans because we had a better military. Anybody with any open-mindedness at all and any knowledge of history can tell you that. We did not defeat Germany because we were the better army and the better soldiers. No, we didn't. We defeated Germany because they could not supply their troops. They ran out of resources. That's all. We beat them in a battle of attrition because we had a country that was safely situated thousands of miles away and could produce and produce and produce. That's all. We just outproduced them. More bullets and more bombs and more planes. But it sure as hell wasn't because we were better. And as many of the generals found out after the war, we didn't win because we were on the right side either. That's a whole other story. If you listen to this program back when we first started almost 12 years ago, I interviewed the Canadian, McDonald, who was in the Royal Canadian Air Force in World War II. He was in a bomber squadron, and he got stationed in Germany after the war, and he testified on the radio that the longer he stayed in Germany after the war, the more he realized that he had fought for the wrong side. The Germans were were staunch anti-communists, and the Jews within the military did their damnedest to make sure that we didn't, that Germany would not survive. Again, we were the victims of false flag operations and propaganda. Commander says, Pastor Dan, they can't even defeat a nation of goat herders with old broken down rifles and 20 rounds each. Yeah, I know. You know, the propaganda works. The propaganda works on those who do not have Yahweh as their commander in chief. Dark Knight says exactly, Pastor Dan. All right, I'm going to take a chance here and see what Guest 19 has got to say. Guest 19, you're on the air. Did you have a comment or question, or are you just listening? Somebody might have something they wanted to add here. Commander McBragg says, Pastor Dan, Germany was an excellent example of what happens when Yahweh is not issuing the marching orders. Amen. That's exactly right. Germany's downfall wasn't because they didn't have talent or very well-designed equipment or good soldiers or courage or any of that. They were just misled. Their leadership was not of Yahweh, and therefore it fell apart. Just like today, we have a lot of racialist groups that want to do this or do that because they think we should go into a racial war because we're going to win simply because we're white. I think you're crazy. Personally, that's my personal opinion. You're crazy. You're not going to win anything. You're not going to win anything. Just being an Israelite by race doesn't mean Yahweh is going to protect you and bring you into the kingdom. Remember, the scripture is very, very plain on that. Nothing that offends will be brought into the kingdom. Nothing that offends will be brought into the kingdom, and that includes you, Israelite, if you're not doing the right thing. If you haven't made him your King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you don't stand a chance. And your fruit will show that he is not your King of Kings. Commander says here, Pastor Dan, a good soldier waits for his orders. Amen. That's exactly right. We wait for our orders. Patience. You have to have the patience of a saint. You might be ready to go, but that doesn't mean it's Yahweh's time yet. So we have this Sheriff Rogers who's done a great thing, but the district of attorney who happens to this case in Indiana, and if probably most states, I know in New Jersey it was that way years ago, the Jews have just riddled the justice system, both at the federal and state level. So this attorney, Department of Justice attorney Ross Goldstein, tried to threaten the sheriff. The sheriff told him to pack sand in so many words. Rogers' campaign website listed his number one objective as upholding the Constitution. He is also concerned about the heart condition of his inmates and is determined to help, quote, provide hope to change a heart. Under that header, he says the Elkhart County Jail has 74 church services a month and allows unprecedented access to ministry volunteers. Not only can we impact inmates for the here and now, but for eternity. I just hope the good sheriff is teaching the true gospel and not the fake Judeo-Christian gospel. But, you know, one step at a time. We got to go in baby steps here. At least some sheriffs are finally getting some testosterone and standing up to these pipsqueaks from the federal government. The sheriff is the most powerful elected official within the state government, the most powerful. And he has jurisdiction in his county to where he can throw out not only state representatives and government officials, but also federal. You see, the sheriff or the shire reeve, it comes from Old England, shire reeve. Reeve meant magistrate. Shire is their word for village or town. So the shire reeve was the town magistrate. That's where we get the word sheriff. He is the last line of defense that the people have against tyranny at the state and federal level, the shire reeve or sheriff. He has an obligation, a moral obligation, to protect the people within his county against tyranny. That is a sheriff that has gonads. That is a sheriff who understands both his moral and constitutional requirements. Now, this is a good part here in the article. Sheriff Rogers requires his deputies to take 3 2-day classes on the Constitution at a tuition rate of $125 per person. That's the best $125 per person you could spend. Teaching the deputies what's in the Constitution. How many people in this country don't have a clue, especially those who wear uniforms and badges, don't even have a clue as to what's in the Constitution. And yet they swore an oath to uphold it. That's the part that cracks me up. Same thing with you soldiers. You swore an oath. You know, you don't get to carry that badge and gun for the hell of it. You get to carry it because you took the oath. You get to sit in Washington or in the state capitol because you took an oath. You took an oath to obey the law. You took an oath to obey the contract between we the people and you. You don't get that authority. You don't get those weapons. You don't get that chance to abuse us unless you take the oath. That's why Scripture says that people in civil service like that, in positions of trust, they get a double portion of judgment against them when they are corrupt. Now, there's your hint for the Ezekiel 37 army. These people in positions of trust that we've given this kind of laxity or freedom to, carry guns amongst us, issue court orders, issue warrants, put us under arrest, etc., they are held to a higher standard. And when they have been found guilty of violation of what? The public trust, they are to be punished twice as severely as you and I. You see, I'm not in a position to hurt anybody, really. I don't have any authority. I don't have a seal. I don't have a commission. I don't have a badge. I'm just me. But you people out there that took that oath so that you could wear that uniform, carry that badge, and carry that weapon, you are under much more scrutiny than I am. And you are held to a much higher standard than I am. And when you fail, you're going to be held accountable to a higher level also. Your punishment will be twice that of the average person on the street. And up till now, we've had nobody in government willing to make people accountable within the military, the police, and Congress and other government agencies. Nobody's been willing to do that, but a day's coming when that isn't going to be true. There is a day coming when accountability will be expected. A day when accountability will be enforced. There's, figuratively speaking, there's going to be a lot of heads rolling. Figuratively speaking. Yahweh may even make it literal. I don't know. That's his call. Not yours, not mine. But figuratively, there's going to be a lot of heads rolling because there is corruption all through this country. Virtually every government agency is corrupt beyond belief. The judicial system is a joke. Most of the bureaucracies are a joke. And we now have more people on the public dole than at any time in this country's history. That's all going to change, ladies and gentlemen. That's all going to change. It's up to you whether you're going to sit on your keister and do nothing about it, or are you going to be prepared for when the day comes that you will no longer be getting those handouts. You're not. You're on your own. The way it was always meant to be, you'll be on your own. Now, that doesn't mean that a local congregation or family members can't show charity. Because that's where charity belongs. If you deserve it, then they'll help you. Because first of all, without the government stealing a huge percentage of your assets, you're going to have some extra around for truly worthy members of your own family and your own community. You'll have plenty to spare to help somebody truly in need. But if you're just a bum, if you're one of these millions upon millions of deadbeats sitting on your ass not doing anything, oh, no, no, no. You'll starve. And rightfully so. Just as the good book says, if you will not work, you do not eat. What Scripture says. And again, there's always exceptions. Don't get me wrong. There are true charity cases out there, so this does not apply to them. We're talking about those who choose to sit on their ass and let others provide for them when they could do something. And Yahweh knows the difference. Yahweh is not somebody to be played with. Commander says, Pastor Dan, when the ammo runs low, the long knives and ropes will come out. Traitors beware. Oh, absolutely. Remember what the Farmer's Almanac used to say? A good hemp rope is good for 50 politicians. It used to be in the Farmer's Almanac, back when people actually had gonads, when men were men, not the wimps we are today. A good hemp rope is good for 50 politicians, meaning you can hang 50 of them before it's stretched too far and it's not really much of much good anymore. Let's finish up with the article here on our good sheriffs, the few good ones we have out there. Rogers is not alone in his love for the Constitution. Ellis County, Texas Sheriff Johnny Brown has stated that he would resist any effort by the federal government to confiscate firearms in his county. And Yahweh bless his heart. Sheriff Joe Baca in Sierra County, California, told his county commission that he will not enforce road closures on Bureau of Land Management and Gila National Forest lands. Sheriff Gil Gilbertson of Josephine County, Oregon, has told the Forest Service that he will protect those using the forest in his county. He has written a short treatise entitled Unraveling Federal Jurisdiction Within a State. That's a good title, isn't it? It is actually a scholarly piece based on citations from the Constitution, court cases, and statutes, and concludes that the Forest Service has no authority in any county. Amen, they don't. Forest Service is just that, Forest Service. They don't have authority, and they shouldn't be carrying weapons either. But you see, the Antichrist need as many people armed as they can because they know their time is short. Siskiyou County, California Sheriff John Lopey has said, I have told federal and state officials over and over that, yes, we want to preserve the environment, but you care more about the fish, frogs, trees, and birds than you do about the human race. When you start to balance your decisions to the needs of the people, oh, he says, when will you start to balance your decisions to the needs of the people? We are right now in a fight for our survival. Lopey spearheaded a coalition of 8 sheriffs calling themselves Defend Rural America. So there's 8 sheriffs there, and Yahweh bless their hearts. You see, they are starting to take a stand. When you put the Bible into action, be ye doers and not hearers only. When you put the Scripture into action, when you have the right motives behind what you do, Yahweh blesses your efforts. But you see, our people have lost that kind of faith. They don't understand. You have to have the faith of the ancestors, righteousness of Abraham. Have that kind of faith and take a stand against evil and see what Yahweh will do. He's a heavenly Father. Think about that. Think about a true, and I'm talking about good Father here. I know we got a lot of deadbeats out there, but I'm talking about a good earthly Father. Doesn't he take pride in his children when they do their best? I know I did my children. I have 6 beautiful children, and I got 9 beautiful grandchildren. Yahweh has blessed me in that regard. And as an earthly Father, you're very proud of them when they take a stand and when they do the right things for the right reasons. And yeah, they stumble and fall. Sure they do. And like any kind of father, our Heavenly Father does too. He sees us. He watches. He sees us stumble and fall, and he's there to pick us up and dust us off and to encourage us and want us to keep going. You're not here for very long, folks. Yahweh didn't put us here to be here eternity. No, he put us here for the test, to see if you're worthy to go on, to see if you're worthy to be used in this vast universe for the gigantic jobs that he's got for us to do. Stop thinking inside the box. Think outside the box. Think beyond this pitiful existence we have on this planet. You're being tested. And he has the right to test us. We're the creation. You would not want to go to market with less than the best corn or other vegetables from your garden, would you? You're going to be selective. Well, Yahweh is being selective of what he harvests for the next stage, for the next era, for the next kingdom that he uses us in. This is the test. Are you passing the test, or are you failing the test? Again, Yahweh has very plainly said in Scripture, those things that offend him will not see the kingdom. You know, the modern day church world is so full of crap, it's unbelievable. They teach just complete stupidity. Judeo-Christianity is completely moronic. First of all, there is nothing in common between Judaism and Christianity. Nothing in common. True Christianity. Not this stuff that's played in these churches today. That is not anything at all of Yahshua Messiah. He has no part of that. That is the lukewarm Laodicean church that he is going to vomit out. They are neither hot nor cold. They just take up space. They just go with the flow. They don't stand for a damn thing. He is going to vomit them out, as it says in Revelation. He will spew them out. They are the Laodicean church. I got to read a little bit more here. I want to see what Commander says here. Past Dan, since we have been invaded by meth makers, dope growers, and mestizos, our forests have become war zones by design. Well, that's true, but we're going to fix all that. And then Commander says here, the Jews have created the scenario of chaos to justify the takeover by the beast. The beast, of course, being the government. Well, yeah, that's true. This is all a staged event. Everything is staged. 9/11 was staged. Oklahoma City was staged. Even the murdering of Randy Weaver's family and the family dog was all staged. It was all staged events. You ever notice how it went up in scale, up in amount? Huh? Are you paying attention, people? Started out Randy Weaver, then the Branch Davidians, then it went to Oklahoma City. Each time more severe, more intense. You think that's all by accident? Are you people stupid or what? Are you not paying attention? You can't see the design behind this? Oh my God, tell me you're not that damn stupid. Unbelievable. And then we get to the biggest charade of all, 9/11. I mean, that's so full of holes. The official story there is so full of holes, it's unbelievable. Completely unbelievable. And yet a lot of people believe it. Why? Because they're cowards. They're lazy and they're cowards. They don't want to do the research. They don't want to think. And oh, God forbid they actually found out there's something wrong with it. Then they'd have to take action. And oh my God, white people today don't want to be responsible for anything. They sure as hell don't want to have to take action. No. The only thing they want to do is go out and play golf and show up for their job. Most of the time, they don't even want to do that anymore. They just show up. They don't actually do anything. They just show up. They think they ought to be paid. Unbelievable. But I'm going to tell you something. It isn't going to be that way much longer. Better get the right attitude, the right work ethic, the right spirit, the right warrior mentality, or you're going to be left behind. You're not going to be part of the Gideon army, okay? You're not. I'm sure Commander and many other of the regulars that come on this program, we don't want you in our foxhole. If you're the squeamish, the coward, the naysayer, the pessimist, no. Don't come into my foxhole, because I'm with the winners. And we're going to destroy communism. We are going to destroy all that offends the Father when he's ready. Right now, you go play your games, New World Order crowd. And I know you're listening. You play your games. You think you got this thing in the bag, you go right ahead. You keep thinking that. Because your time is short. And when we get the green light, this vast and mighty army spoken of in Ezekiel is going to kick ass. Literally. And your days are over. Scripture is very plain about that. This time, no mercy. This time, Christ is on a what? Charger for war. Not peace. Not lollygagging around, looking the other way. Oh, poor child. No. No mercy. You had enough time. You had enough warning. Yahweh's made very sure every single person has had the opportunity to hear the truth. Everybody that counts. So there will be no excuses, Jacob Israel. No excuses when he comes on that charger. And when he comes with the host, both from heaven and those of us still here. There'll be no excuses. The record book will be open. You will be able to hide behind nothing. And just remember those absolutely terrifying words. No mercy. Better think about it. Let me finish up here. In the days after Hurricane Katrina, power is out for days. Food and medicine were about to be lost. So Sheriff Billy McGee of Forest County, Mississippi, a Democrat, believe it or not, took action when he realized that a federal shipment of 6 trucks of ice bound for Hattiesburg turned out to be only 4. Uh-oh, 2 trucks missing. McGee went in search of the other 2 and found them being guarded by some Army reservists who possessed bureaucratic mindsets. What's that mean? McGee took steps to secure the ice, but was told he was not authorized to take the vehicles. When a reservist would not get off one of the trucks, McGee had him handcuffed. Imagine that. The ice was delivered where it was needed in Hattiesburg, explaining why McGee is also known as the Iceman. Not surprisingly, the feds have brought suit against the sheriff in federal court. Perhaps McGee will arrest any marshals seeking to interfere with the duties of a peace officer. We certainly hope so. It is encouraging that men of integrity who understand that the sheriff is the top law enforcement officer in his county have been elected in counties around the country. We should be looking for more who fit this description. And then, again, this is written by Larry Pratt, and the article is housed at newswithviews.com. And Larry Pratt is the Director of Communications for Gun Owners of America. So our hats off and salutes to the constitutional sheriffs out there, the ones that are doing the right thing, both morally and legally. Text window here, again, it's not my computer causing the problem in this case. It's DocShoe. For some strange reason, it decides to freeze up every now and then, which it has done now. So if you're new to the, if you've just logged in, you're going to be muted. I can't unmute you, and I cannot read any text. So what else is new? I have one other real quick article I wanted to read just as much as I can before we get to the end of the program. And it's called The Gay Plague, Insight into Destructive Forces Determining the Way We Think by John Kaminsky. He's got a website, johnkaminsky.info. and Kaminsky is K-A-M-I-N-S-K-I, Kaminsky. So we're going to read just a little bit of what John has to say. You can go to his website or look on the web, do a search for the article. It's long, but it's very well written, called The Gay Plague. Homosexuals are not normal beings in the same way that Jews are not normal citizens of any country in which they reside. Public acceptance of homosexuality has been used by the Jewish puppet masters to destabilize societies they are plundering. All societies coalesce on the basis of protection of one's own children and property. Homosexuals and Jews sabotage this life-sustaining coalescence, as they are motivated by their own pathological and physiological deviant propensities. The original official acceptance of homosexuality in contemporary society occurred in 1973 after a three-year-long jihad of outrageous public insults to American psychiatrists by an ad hoc army of gay activists. To get the aggressive homosexuals to stop harassing them, the American Psychiatric Association canvassed its 10,000 members and by a vote declared that the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders 2, or also referred to as DSM-2, would no longer classify homosexuality as a pathology. Instead, it would be called an alternate lifestyle. Do you see how they work? You see that, folks? No medical evidence whatsoever figured in this decision. Coming on the heels of 10 turbulent years of the totally Jewish women's liberation movement, which exacerbated the deterioration of the American nuclear family, this gay pronouncement further loosened what religious types might call the bounds of decency and boldly pushed homosexuality into the public limelight as something that deserved our tolerance and compassion. On an interpersonal level, this attitude is desirable because love and understanding are the most important things in life. But what are we trying to understand? A psychological and physiological perversion. It is not an alternative lifestyle. It is the psychological consequence of testosterone deficiency during early pregnancy that produces effeminate males. Then he goes on to a softpedia.com website with an article on that. The real question is why those effeminate males produce such a flamboyantly depraved culture. And the simple answer is that it is because homosexuality is depraved, unnatural, and irresponsible to the highest degree. It is probably the most potent weapon in the arsenal of the Jewish destabilization template, which has now destroyed most of the countries it has touched, and that's all of them. On a sociological level, the attempt to pretend homosexuals are normal has resulted in just what homosexual behavior always produces. 1. Unwanted sexual attacks on children and adults. 2. Accelerated deterioration of the nuclear family. 3. Skewing of discussions about anything because of having to recognize the gay perspective, parentheses, which is strikingly like the Jewish perspective, end parentheses. And lastly, utter unreliability and untrustworthiness in any institution, organization, or business that employs gays, whose behavior, either in concealment or extravagant flaunting of their chosen attitude, always destabilizes any relationship with any member of the heterosexual majority. The answer you get when you protest these things is always, quote, "We must tolerate others who are different." The response to that should always be, quote, "I have no wish to recognize an obvious illness, a sickening deviation from normal behavior, as normal, because one, it disgusts me, and two, it is extraordinarily unhealthy and destructive behavior," end quote. Thus, does a small percentage of psychological and physiological aberrance force the vast majority of ordinary heterosexuals to tolerate something that disgusts them verifying. Oops, hold on a minute here. My program is going to let me back in. I got to let it reboot here for just a second. Oop, I can see we're almost out of time, too. Anyway, like I said, John Kaminsky's article is a very good one if you want to have material to undo the propaganda that for some reason we are to accept an alternate lifestyle as normal when in fact it is anything but normal. We had one new guest come into the room here. Got another guest. All right. So back on board. Let me get back to the article here real quick. I don't want to take up too much more time. How this whole pro-gay agenda has metastasized into the sewer of destructive social engineering now dominating mainstream society, with transgender sex advocates prominent on our Supreme Court and closet homosexuals selected as U.S. presidents, senators, judges, and generals, so they can be more effectively controlled by their beast masters at suburban East Coast synagogues, is the focus of our story tonight. You must know by now that for a decade or more, poison Jewish rules from the American Federation of Teachers have brought condoms into elementary schools and homosexual advocates talking to first graders about how great queer folk really are. The homosexuals of America have cringed in horror at this, the heterosexuals of America have cringed in horror at this blatant disregard and destruction of most people's moral values, as well as the minds of children who are forced to receive these perverted messages. Since people's first sexual experience almost always becomes a sexual preference throughout life, millions of healthy lives have been ruined by inserting this information into the mind of children too young to grasp its implications, or molesting him or her at any age. And again, we're not going to go down through the rest of this article. You can find it online. Again, do a Google search of John Kaminsky's, and you'll find it. I just noticed he has a quote here from Frederick Bastiat, which wrote the book called The Law, which if you get a chance to read it, you should, because it has a tremendous amount of information in it that is very pertinent to what's going on in our country today. In fact, all the white nations of this world. So, but anyway, as we said at the top of the program, today's title was Be Ye Doers, because you got to be doers, folks. It's not sufficient to understand the truth and then not put it into practice in your life. You can't do that. Father will not forgive that, okay? He will not forgive that. Warrior Son of David says, in the old Navy, they made the homos walk the plank. Well, let me give you a quick story from my own family. I had a great uncle, who was called Uncle Brownie, and he was in the trenches of France during World War I. A horrendous war, by the way. Very sickening, the things that were seen and done in that war. He was a field grade lieutenant, meaning he had been promoted from a non-commissioned officer to a lieutenant in the field during battle, during the war. He did not have a college degree because back then they made you a commander or leader of men based on your talent, not whether you had a degree or not. You see how stupid we've become today? So Uncle Brownie was a leader, obviously. And things were so horrendous in those trenches that when he came home to Pennsylvania, my father and all the other young men would ask him to tell them stories about what happened over there, and Uncle Brownie would not talk about trench warfare. The only story that my father recounted to me that Uncle Brownie would talk about was the day that Uncle Brownie found two queer men in the trenches. He gave each of them orders to take their gear, their weapons, their ammunition, and take it off. He then handed each of them a revolver with 6 rounds of ammunition. He then positioned them at the edge of the trench and blew the whistle. And the two of them charged the German lines. It was called No Man's Land. That area between the trenches occupied by the Allies and the trenches occupied by the Germans. These two men went against the Germans into No Man's Land. They made it about halfway across, and a machine gun opened up and killed them both. People say, well, that sounds very, very cruel. That's because you've never been in combat. You've never been in a position where your life is on the line literally every minute of every day. You've never been in combat and seen what homosexuals will do to the cohesiveness of your unit and how it can threaten it. It is the very reason why women do not belong in combat units. Because people will do the wrong thing when you get emotions involved, and that kills soldiers. So did my Uncle Brownie want to do that? Obviously not. But these two men were open with their homosexuality. They didn't stay in the closet. So that's what happened to them. You see, also in that day, it was considered very, very bad, let's say, to have one's family find out that you were a homosexual and to be discharged from the army in disgrace. And so by the way it was done, they went home almost as if they were heroes of the war rather than in disgust and disgrace as homosexuals. They went home as killed in action, defending our country. So a lot of people that don't understand that aspect of it would say that's such a horrific thing to hear. But you know, my Uncle Brownie also told my dad that every now and then there would be two Germans attacking the Americans and the British, and they would also be shot down. That was the way it was handled back then. But you see, the propagandists have worked within our society to change that whole situation, haven't they? It is now vogue to call yourself queer. It is now in vogue to turn the other cheek and to look the other way. And you know, people might think that that's a good thing, but you have to remember, it doesn't matter what you and I think. It doesn't matter what the newspapers and the media thinks. It doesn't matter what the rock stars and the politicians think. What matters is what our Heavenly Father thinks. You boil it all down, that's the only thing that matters. And your job, brother and sister, is to figure out what does Yahweh accept and what doesn't. Because in the end, you will stand in front of Him all alone. You will have no excuses. You can't point a finger to another teacher or to the media or to a professor or a government official and say, well, they made me do it or they lied to me, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Father's going to look at you and say, take him away. Get him out of my sight. You've been warned. You've been told the truth. It's in black and white in the scripture. It's within your molecular makeup if you're an Israelite. He wrote it on your heart. You have to ignore your own conscience. You have to ignore reality. You have to ignore common sense. If you want to think that that aberration is normal, because it is not normal. And we're already way over, and I know Pastor Eli's program is starting here in a little bit at noon, the Voice of Christian Israel. I noticed that Bill was on here, so we want to say hello to Bill Fink and let you know also he has his teachings that are on the websites, so you can do that research and check it out. We also want to say a prayer for the sheriffs that we just read about that are starting to stand up and take control again, to kick the feds and the errant bureaucrats out of their counties. I also read another article, which we did not talk about here. There is a county out in the Midwest where not only the local sheriff, but the local police and the local militia took a stand against the feds. People are waking up. People are starting to take a stand against what is evil. S18 says here, do I think that Pastor Eli is a Jew? Absolutely not. I don't think so. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Again, you'll be held accountable. You will be held accountable for your actions, your words, your deeds. So, all I know is, people are amazing. Nice work, Gary 18. Nice work. Anyway, we're past our time. So, thanks for joining us today. We had a very large group here tonight, and I have noticed that the numbers on the website show quite a few downloads of the program are going out as MP3 files, and we know that when people do that, they email them, they put them on discs, whatever, to play in their MP3 players and their car stereos or over their computers. So quite a few of them going out there. I guess 19 says how many. The highest number on a weekly basis so far has been just under 600. And the normal right now is running somewhere pretty close to 200 per week. And people say, well, that's not a whole lot. Well, you're right. It's not a tremendous lot. It won't compare to a Glenn Beck or a talk show host of that nature or whatever. But you got to understand something. Yahweh says our flock's a little flock. You got to understand this too. Yahweh came down here and put on flesh as Yeshua. He was one man and he changed this entire world. 12 disciples that he picked to go with him, all Benjaminites. So one man with 12 Benjaminites turned this world upside down. And we know, those who study mathematics, it doesn't take very long if 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 go out and talk to another 2, and they talk to another 2, and they talk to another 2. Pretty soon, that word is getting out there all over the place. So don't get fixated on just pure numbers. Because I can report this to you. I'm getting feedback that this message is getting out to our people all over this planet. It is getting out there, and our people are waking up, and they're listening. And that's what we've been praying for. The great awakening that is spoken of in Scripture at the end of the age, before the final judgment. Because when we get to the numbers that we're supposed to have, then the end shall come. Then when we will need the ark that's spoken of in Scripture. Because he said the end of the age would be what? Like the days of Noah. We're small in number, but we're righteous. Yahweh will give us the means to rise above the judgment for the wicked. That's what we have to remember. Guest number 9 says, Pastor Dan Wright, and Yeshua told us we were few, a little flock, a remnant. When he said, where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, I am there. Amen. Amen. And Leo in Chicago says, I know Eli personally. Anyone who thinks he's an Edomite will have some issues with Yahweh. And I agree, Leo. I've been to many, many, many gatherings with Eli, and we did radio together for a couple years. There is no harder worker for our people in this message than Eli James. There just isn't. So I would be careful of the naysayers. And we'll leave it at that. So anyway, have a great Sunday afternoon. Beautiful weather down here, and I hope it is where you're at also. We ask Yahweh to bless each and every one of you, give you courage, discernment, give you good vision, give you a stiff backbone, and that you will take a stand for righteousness. We also pray Yahweh to protect us from our enemies, because they're plentiful, and yes, in human terms, they have power. we know you have far more. So, brothers and sisters, have a great day. We'll see you Wednesday, Yahweh willing, of course. And in the meantime, hallelujah.
We praise Yahweh for winter. We praise Yahweh for spring. We praise Yahweh for a summer day and the fruits the harvest brings. And we praise Yahweh for the good and the bad in every little thing. But most of all, we praise Yahweh within the prayers and the songs we sing. We praise Yahweh for the good and the bad in everything. We praise Yahweh for the summer time, for winter and spring. We praise Yahweh for these latter days and what they may bring. We praise Yahweh for every day within the prayers and the songs we sing. Stubborn doors won't open, and you're restrained from passing through. When hearts and minds get broken, and you don't know what to do, that's when you realize that your spirit cries, and the Father's there for you. Sing your songs and pray your prayers unto the one who is always true. We praise Yahweh for the good and the bad. If you've ever lost it all, but if you trust in faith and his saving grace, you shall rise and hear his call. So in all things give him thanks and praise, winter, springtime, summer and fall. We praise Yahweh for the good and the bad and everything. We praise Yahweh for the summer time, fall, winter and spring. In the prayers and the songs we sing, we praise Yahweh for every day within the prayers.